Everyone's not of faith. You know, the apostle says all men have not faith. But it said here in verse 6, Galatians 3, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that'd be us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now you remember the apostle asked these five questions in these first five verses. And he asked these questions, you know, who hath bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit, you're going to be made perfect by the flesh? He that ministers to you the Spirit, or who the Spirit of God that works among you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? And he used these questions to teach and rebuke the Galatians. And he called these Galatians foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians. And how foolish it is for anybody to take and put anything in the place of Christ. Anything in the place of Christ. That's what Paul says back up there in verse 20 of chapter 2. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I don't live it by the law. I don't live it by my relationship with Moses. I don't live it by my relationship because I'm a Jew and keep the ceremonies and ritual. I don't live by my circumcision or the holy days or what I eat or what I drink, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now watch this. And I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness, I don't make it void, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And then he says, oh, foolish Galatians. Christ has been set before you, evidently preached as crucified, and you understood the gospel. And he asked these questions, and these questions have to do with truth, the truth of Christ crucified, and obeying that truth, believing that truth. And then it also, two things cropped up here all the time. Works of the law or the hearing of faith. Works of the law or the hearing of faith. You received your Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Did you work miracles among you by the law or by the hearing of faith? And these are opposed one to another. They're diametrically opposed. It's either you're going to be justified by works, which would nullify grace, or you're going to be justified by the grace of God, which nullifies works. Now, we're talking about our justification before God.
Yes.
Huh? And this hearing of faith, that's the way faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If anybody ever gets faith, it's going to be sitting listening. They're going to hear something. How can they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Except they have a preacher, and they got to have a preacher, and they listen. And all, beloved, in hearing of faith, and that's what I want to do. I want to sit and listen. I love to sit and listen to somebody, and with that hearing, as I'm sitting here, and Christ is preached, and the gospel is preached to me, faith comes with that to me.
Amen.
It enables me to believe. I acknowledge that. I say, yes, that's true. That's so. I embrace it. And that faith comes to me. And I say, that's true. That's what I believe. That's where my hope's at. And now he comes to Abraham. He turns to Abraham to continue his argument that men are not justified by the law, that works are not by the law. That everything God does for us, and we understand, is through the hearing of faith. And so to continue his argument, Abraham was justified, and he was accounted righteousness 430 years before the law was ever given. And he was justified and accounted righteous before God before he was ever circumcised. In fact, he was the first one who was circumcised as a sign and seal of the token of the covenant that God made with him. And it had nothing to do with law. And so let's look at these verses together here. And it says there in verse 6, Now, was this miracle done by? Did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith of the works of the law? Even as Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness, or reckoned to him as righteousness, is imputed to him as righteousness. Now the Jews held Abraham in the highest esteem. Now you keep this and look with me over here in John chapter 8 just a minute. How many times did you hear them talk about Abraham? Our father Abraham, our father Abraham. And you know now the Muslims, they claim Abraham to be their father. Jews claim Abraham to be their father. And I claim Abraham to be my father. And I'm a Gentile. But he was Abraham. He's the children of the Palestinians, the Arabs, through Ishmael. And he's the father of a true Jew, or the Jewish nation, a full-blooded Jew, through Isaac. The two seeds, the two sons. And look what he said here in John 8:33. Our Lord Jesus says to them, and there in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free?" Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That's what we need to be made free from. That's what the truth sets us free from. Sin, the bondage of sin. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." I mean, you know, he's going to, his day will be up, but the Son, he abides forever. "If the Son, therefore, shall set, make you free, you shall be free. And I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place into you. And I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you have seen that which you do with your father." They answered, said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Our Lord said unto him, "Just because you're Abraham's seed, that don't make him your father. Abraham is our father." Our Lord said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, that which I have heard of God." Abraham didn't do this. Abraham didn't do this. So they held Abraham in the highest esteem. Highest esteem. And they were telling these Judaizers, these men that came down here, they were telling these Galatians that in order for you to become a child of Abraham, to be an heir of the promise of Abraham, heirs of the promise, you had to be circumcised and obey the law. You know, you remember in Acts 8:15:1, it says, "And they which came down from Judea commanded them that they could, except they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses, they could not be saved." And that's what they're saying here. That's exactly what's going on here. They said they couldn't be saved. You can't be a child of Abraham unless you're circumcised. You can't be a child of Abraham unless you keep the law. But that's not what Paul's saying here. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And now Abraham was called a friend of God. God called Abraham my friend. And God identified himself as the God of Abraham. So Abraham is a great figure to present into our minds. There's more in the Hebrews 11 about Abraham than anybody else. Abraham stands out as the father of the faithful and all. And so God tells us here how Abraham was justified. And it says here he believed God. And Abraham was counted righteous. Now to see where this comes from, you've got to go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, when it says Abraham believed God. Now, beloved, his faith didn't justify him. His faith didn't make him righteous. God didn't count his faith as righteousness. Because if it was, that meant that faith had some merit and work in and of itself. But Abraham was counted righteous. Look here in Genesis 15 and verse 4. And it says he believed. Well, who did he believe? He believed God. And we understand that faith is a gift of God. And you cannot believe until you have life. So evidently God had regenerated this man. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "This shall not be thine heir," when he had Ishmael. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. He didn't have a child at that time. He said, yeah, my steward Eliezer is going to be the one. And he brought him forth abroad. He says, now look now toward heaven. Took him, follow me out here. Look toward that heaven now. And tell the stars. Count the stars for me. If you be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And now watch this. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now what did he do? He believed God. And his faith had no merit in it. God didn't count him righteous because his faith was the work that he obeyed God in. He didn't do anything but stand there with his mouth shut and God speak to him. God speak to him. He said, I grown childless. So he said, well, Eliezer's not going to inherit your stuff. You're going to have a child out of your own bowels. So you see, it was the object of his faith that God accounted him righteous for. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You're going to have so many seed that vignette through that one seed. So God, see, when he looked to that promised seed, and he was saved by believing what God said concerning a seed that was to come. And that's what justified him. And that's what the same thing it means. God is just to justify him that what? Believes on Christ. And he believed on Christ. Who do you think it was who's there talking to him? Who do you think took him abroad? Who do you think he understood his seed to be? Oh, so the object of his faith was the promise.
Amen.
He didn't look to his own faith. I mean, he didn't count his... When God told him, he looked at his body after... You know, he said, well, I'm a young man, we can do this. But God waited years and years and years and years until he could not possibly have a child. And when it would have to be done by the purpose of God and a miraculous birth, they had a child. God came to her one year before him and he says, you know, this time next year, I'm going to come back. And said, this time, said, I'm going to visit you and then you're going to have this child.
Yes, sir.
But he said, I'll tell you when you're going to have it. He said, well, I'm going to come back next year. Sarah's in the tent. She just laughed. She said, me that is old? Couldn't possibly have any child. That ain't going to happen. A year later, they had a child. God visited them again. 9 months later, they had a child. Named him Isaac. And that was what Abraham believed. He believed in that seed was to come. And back over in Genesis, or back over in Galatians, it says in Christ was that seed. But Abraham was justified. And so you see, now let me tell you something about this righteousness accounted right. There's only been one righteousness that God's ever accepted. And that's the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
He's never accepted. There's never been another righteousness on top side of God's earth that God would regard a man as righteous. And that's only the righteousness of Christ. Now ain't that right? Abraham didn't have a righteousness that he stood in himself. And then when he believed God, he became more righteous. I read some writers that that's what they believe, that he had a righteousness already by faith. And then when God made him the promise, his righteousness became better and was accepted of God. But no, no. You see, beloved, Abraham was a heathen idolater. He dwelt in the Ur of the Chaldees and God went down there and told him to get up and go come out. And that's when God converted him. That's when God gave him life. That's when he had faith given to him. And then when he was there, he said, look up here, Abraham. God ain't going to tell an unbeliever to look up and believe him. You got to have life first. That's the first thing. It is a gift of God. And when God took him out there, look up. He looked up and he could believe God. Why? Because God's the one that makes the promise. You see, he believed the promise. The God who made the promise. And Abraham was justified, not by circumcision, back over in our text, but by his faith. It was not Abraham the circumcised here, but Abraham the believer that was justified. God reckoned him a believer. Now I want you to see this in Romans 4 just a minute. I love this stuff. I just love it. I just enjoy it so much, talking about these things. You know, Abraham, we're the children of Abraham. That we have the faith of Abraham. So I'm interested in Abraham. I'm interested in what justified him, because if I have the same faith Abraham, I've got the same righteousness Abraham's got. I'm justified the same way Abraham was. Ain't that right? And I ain't went out and looked at no stars. I wasn't told to. I wasn't told to count any sand on the seashore. I was told to believe a promise, same thing Abraham was, and I do. But now look what happens here in Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that our Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What's he found pertaining to his flesh? A man. His relationship to the flesh. What's he found? What did he discover? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He can glory. If he was justified before God by his works, because he done good works, because he was saved by his obedience, coming up out of Ur of Chaldees, he's saved by his obedience, by this thing and that thing and the other thing, but he has somewhere to glory from. But he cannot glory before God. Why not can he glory before God? For what saith the Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that work is the reward, or the righteousness not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, you see, beloved, Abraham was accounted. Let me see if I can make sense out of it this way. Abraham was accounted. That word accounted means reckoned or imputed. Abraham was accounted or reckoned by God to be a believer. And he was reckoned to be a believer because he was a believer. When the moment that he believed that promise, that's not what made him a believer. He believed the promise because he was already a believer. Now, ain't that right? He couldn't have believed that promise of God unless he was already a believer. An unbeliever does not believe God. I hope I ain't muddy in the water here. Abraham was, when God called him out, he's standing there. God says, "You're a believer." So he made him a promise. And Abraham believed that promise. That's why God, and that's exactly what happens when God does something for you. You know why you believe Christ? Because you're a believer. And the only reason you don't believe Christ is you're an unbeliever.
Amen.
Hey, but two places to be, in Christ, out of Christ, believer or non-believer, sheep or not, you know, that's just saved or lost. That's the way it is. Ain't no middle ground. And God always, and here's the thing about it, God always reckons men and things as they really are. As they really are. And look what it says here back in our text now. Even as Abraham believed God, as a believer, he was justified by God. Abraham was reckoned righteous, not by works, but by faith. Abraham was reckoned righteous, not by obeying the law, but believing the promise. Abraham was justified, not as a worker, but as a believer. The same thing with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Abraham believed in his heart, and when, beloved, God made him that promise, he said, "I confess and I believe that promise." And then it says there now in verse 7, "Know ye." Now he's given a pretty good command here. He said, "Know this. I want you to know this. I want you to get this." He said, now Galatians 3:7. "I want you to get this. I want you to know this." He's not saying you do know it. He said, "You need to know this, and I'm commanding you to know this. Know ye therefore they that which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Know you? And he starts out here with facts. This is a scriptural fact. You believe the Bible. You believe the Scriptures. What did the Scriptures say concerning Abraham? Abraham's heirs are not of blood, but of faith. And the Jew says, because we're Abraham's children, then we ain't got nothing to worry about. And they thought that the faith and the promises was going to be passed down just because of a relationship to Abraham. But when the promise came in person himself, when he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Oh, Abraham's heirs are not of blood. They're not heirs because they're Jews. They're not heirs because they're Arabs. But they're heirs by faith. Only faith receives the promise. In God's eye, in God's purpose, it's not genetics that determines our relationship with Abraham. It's not ethnicity. It's not our race. But it's a spiritual descent. Abraham's children are not those who share his genes. They're not those of a particular race, but those who have the same faith. Ain't that what it says? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith.
Yes, sir.
The children of Abraham. Look over there in verse 29 of Galatians chapter 3. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham, and the promise already come. Huh? That's why Abraham's called in Romans 4:11, Abraham's called the father of the faithful. Not only to those who are uncircumcised, but to those who are circumcised. Because he was a father of the faithful. And we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. And let me tell you this about to be the children of a person. You know, and we all got children. We've all been children. We've still got mothers and daddies, some of us do. But to be the child or the children of a person, in a sense, is the same as to resemble him. To resemble him. You know, when you're a child of a person, you resemble that person. You have a physical resemblance to him. And it also means to be involved in their faith, whether good or bad. You know, right now, with the economy and things, if a man loses his job, it's going to affect his children. If he does real well on his job, then their children are going to be blessed too. So everything that we do, it affects our children, whether it's good or bad. They're involved in it. And that's what it says here. In Adam, everything was bad. In Christ, everything is good. And as we, Abraham, we resemble Abraham. How do we resemble him? We believe God. How do we resemble him? We walk in the steps of that faith. How do we resemble him? We receive the promise. How do we resemble him? We're children of faith. We believe. We're like Abraham. We have the same faith. Huh? Now look what he says here in verse 8 now. And the Scripture. And here that Paul always uses the Scripture. And the Scripture. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Oh my. Now the Jews couldn't get a hold of that. Do you mean the Gentiles are going to be justified? That they won't have to become a Jew? They won't have to go to synagogue? They won't have to be circumcised? They won't have to wear skull hats? What do they call those things? Yarmulkes? They won't have to wear them? They won't have to wear prayer cloths? They won't have to sit and read from left to right? They won't have to keep holy days? They won't have to go to Jerusalem and keep the feast? Won't have to offer a blood sacrifice whenever they have the firstborn? You mean tell me that you're going to save people without that? That's exactly what God said when he preached the gospel to Abraham. When did he preach the gospel to Abraham? When he made that promise of a seed that was to come. And you know how many times he made that promise to Abraham? Not only when he promised him Isaac, but also when he took him up on that mountain and brought him back off that mountain.
Yes, sir.
God preached the gospel to Abraham there. God preached the gospel to Abraham when Abraham was scared for his wife. God preached the gospel to Abraham when he stood before Melchizedek and Melchizedek, the high priest there. Abraham bowed down there in front of the priest of the Most High and took bread and wine from that priest. And he had no beginning of days and no end of days. So God preached the gospel before to Abraham. And I'll tell you what, beloved, Everybody was a heathen until Abraham. He was the first Jew, the first Hebrew nation come from him. And then he says, here we see the gospel was for all nations. First we see this for all nations. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Huh? Oh my, and the gospel was preached in the promise. In the promise made to Abraham falls into two categories. Let me see if I can explain this right. God made the promise, the promises that he made had a physical sense when he said, I'll give you a land. Go east, north, south, and west, and walk abroad. He told him in Genesis 13, he said, you go everywhere you go, and they said, that's yours. That's yours. Promised him a physical land. Promised a homeland, a country. And then the spiritual promises. And that spiritual promise concerned his seed. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Abraham said, our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it was glad. But yet, the physical promise of them inheriting the land was literally fulfilled. But 430 years later, all Abraham ever owned while he was here was a grave. But 430 years later, that's when Israel came up out of Egypt and they fought until they took the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. But even in all of those physical, inheriting the land and having that country, all the spiritual blessings were hid in there also. You know why? Because Abraham went looking for a country. God said, you know, this is all yours. That all the time he is on this earth, he is looking for a country. A city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a country. Where a place where God wasn't ashamed to be called his God. That's why, even though he is in a land, he was looking for another land. Even though he had a promised land, yet he is looking for another promise. And Abraham and all his children at the same time were looking for that. And then it says, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And that, you know, Revelation 5:9 says this. You know, that thou shalt have here redeemed a multitude that no man can number out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation and people under the earth. Huh? And we know that Isaac never saved anybody. Abraham never saved anybody.
No.
But they looked to that one, they embraced that promises. They all died in faith, having not received the promises. And yet we've received the promise of Christ, and we're all going to die in faith of the promise of inheriting that new city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And all it says there in verse 9, so then they which be of faith. Are you a faith? Are you a faith? Are you a faith? They which are of, which be of faith. Which means they which be believers. That's what that means. They which be believers. They which are of faith. They which be of faith. Not them which receive circumcision. Not them who have the works of the law. Not them who keep the ceremonies and rituals. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What does that mean? Blessed with faithful Abraham. Oh my. Well, God made a covenant with Abraham. Oh my. We've been blessed in a covenant. And not only that, but as Abraham was blessed with faith, we're blessed with faith. Abraham was blessed to believe a promise. We're blessed to receive a promise. And here's the greatest blessing of all. The blessing of faith itself. Do you know anything that honors God more than faith? You know, carnal mind, the carnal reasoning, could not have possibly believed what Abraham believed. The natural mind couldn't have done it. He couldn't have looked at the stars and God says, you know, that's how many children you're going to have. That don't even make sense. But God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. Now, Peter said, you know, there's a village over there, got about 300 or 400 people, and that's how many you seed you're going to have. Now, he could have grasped that. Man has five or six youngins. They killed a guy over there in Gaza the other day that had 42 wives. I believe he's 11 wives and 42 kids. So, I mean, you can have a house full of youngins real quick if you had a 15 wives. Abraham could have believed that, but you know, he looks at the stars. Count them stars for me, Abraham. That's an impossibility. God said, in your seed, that's how many children you're going to have. Now look at that sand all around you there. Count that sand if you can. You couldn't pick up a handful of sand and count it. You couldn't count a handful of sand. Much less all of it. He said, that's how many children you're going to have. Abraham said, amen. Oh, bless you, Lord, for that wonderful promise. Bless you, Lord, for that wonderful promise. And when they put him, when he got ready to die, he was still looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. And he was blessed. And he was blessed here to persevere all the way to the end. To believe God. To believe God all the way to the grave. And they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They'll do the same thing. Every one of the children of Abraham will go to the grave like Abraham. Believe in God. Won't they? Believe in the promise that's already fulfilled in Christ. Our Father, blessed be your name for allowing us to have this privilege to meet here tonight. I pray that you'd cause the word to be a blessing, cause it to be made understandable, to be made to rejoice in, find great comfort and assurance in. Oh, Father, we pray for those that haven't yet believed or haven't confessed their faith. We ask you to enable them by your grace to one day, if they believe in their heart, if they believe in their heart, God counts them righteous. And I pray that you'll enable them by your grace to confess that righteousness like Abraham did, that the only righteousness I have is the righteousness you gave me, O God. The only righteousness that you'll accept is the righteousness you gave me, that righteousness of Christ. God bless them to do that. Thank you for this glorious faith. Thank you for this blessed gospel that goes to all nations and all people. In Christ's name we bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.